And I think what's the point is because
the Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Happy Wednesday. It's Tottenham Day, Jane.
Yay. And I fucking stitched myself up with Tottenham Villa COTC yesterday after watching that on Monday and then doing this again today. Should have cancelled Tottenham this week.
Well, we weren't much better, to be honest with you. Although we were expected to lose, to be honest with you.
You weren't any fucking better.
No, but the difference being we were probably expected to lose. Although we both predicted you guys to lose 2-1, and to your credit, you came back to 2-2. From all reports, it was not good.
What, my team?
Yeah, I didn't watch your game.
I mean, it's 2-2. It wasn't a thriller. I suppose it was probably, in terms of goal malfaction, was probably okay for the neutral, but the quality level wasn't at a fucking high bar. I was obviously front row.
I saw your view from Twitter.
Yeah, a bit shit. I wasn't happy that Dad wanted to, didn't. He was like, oh, let's stay down the front. I wasn't fucking happy about that. Because at our time, he was like, oh, maybe we should have been at the back. And I'm like, yeah, you know that spot I have? Look at it. It's gone. So now, mate. What I would say is that the one thing is, obviously, you know, I like to sit higher so you can have a proper perspective of tactical stuff, which I can't give you shit from that game on Monday unless I watched it back, and frankly once was enough. But there's certain things you do pick up at pitch level, like the quality of the pitch, whether it's been watered. It was so patchy, that pitch. Really? Yeah, there were certain bits where the grass was longer than other bits, and certainly didn't help the game. It's no excuse. Both teams got to play on it and stuff, but they obviously do go quite direct. Liverpool, depending on how much rain we get in the next week, Liverpool go there next Monday. And if it doesn't rain much between now and then, Liverpool are going to struggle on that next Monday because of how slow the pitch is. And they want to play fast, right? Their game at Villa Park on Monday was fast. It's not an excuse, right? Fucking, we can't keep starting games and giving the opposition a fucking lead. Not even that. It's becoming 2-0.
Yeah.
I think we've gone 2-0 down in 4 of the last 5 league games or something.
Oh, wow. I knew it was bad because you feel it always. Oh, Tottenham have come back. But I didn't realise it was 2-0 in 4 of the last 5. But you lost before Brentford. You lost 4 of the last 5 league games. Or was it 4 of the last 6? You'd lost 4.
Yeah, 4 of 6 or 4 of 7.
The way the BBC showed the ticker wasn't very helpful. I couldn't figure out if they meant 4 or 5 or 4 or 6. But yeah. So obviously, in some of those, you haven't come back and turned it around.
Did the game for you, it's just a wider conversation, did it feel like first game of the season to you? Or did it feel like 17th game? Or 16th game, as it was?
It felt initially like first game of the season in the sense that fresh start, and then very quickly, as soon as it was back to same old, it felt like we were 17th game and nothing's changed, and there may as well have not even been a fucking World Cup gap in the middle. It didn't take long for it to just feel like same shit, different day. I'm talking specifically about our game, not your game. But yeah,
that's it. That's what I was looking for you to say, because it felt the same for me. It was like same shit, different day, just like I watched Tottenham last week.
Yeah.
As I kind of opened COTC with Ricky yesterday, it's like, did you miss him, mate? No, I haven't fucking missed him. It pissed me off already. I want to talk about Antonio because people are getting really fucking pissed off now, which is understandable, right? Because it doesn't really matter who you are. I did a pod with Lewis Browning on Gillingham yesterday, right? It doesn't matter if you're Gillingham or Tottenham, you shouldn't be conceding the first goal in 9 consecutive games, right? And certainly for us, like, that's not fucking on, right? So why does it keep happening? And I think that the frustration's really growing in terms of his lack of tactical flexibility and the quality of what we're watching. Now, a lot of people come to me and say all the time, oh, this is no better than Mourinho. I can assure you it is a lot better than Mourinho stuff. However, it's not good compared to what I'm watching of other teams. Arsenal were flying at the moment. City are City. Liverpool play with a fast tempo always. Manchester United looked good yesterday. Chelsea looked good yesterday. Newcastle, thankfully, I didn't watch on Monday because that probably would have made things worse. But when you compare us to the other teams...
I watched them.
Were they very good?
Monday. They were good. I didn't think it was 3-0 in that... Leicester also had moments in the game. But overall, the fact that once they'd scored early, Newcastle, you know, it's a different game when you go one or two up within the first 20 minutes because you can play a different style of football and they controlled the game reasonably well. But yeah, they were better than you have been and they were definitely better than we have been. So yeah.
Anyway, point being that these other six teams, the big seven, if you want to call them that at the moment, are all playing better football than us. Reality. Admittedly, Chelsea haven't been and United have had some sloppy days, but I think United have won us 11 out of 14 now or something. Like it's coming for them.
And they were good yesterday.
Yeah.
Look,
to be honest, I'm probably overstating it with United and Chelsea a little bit because they've beat Bournemouth and Nottingham Forest respectively, who may well finish 20th and 19th in this league. And they should be winning those games and they should look good in these games. And to be honest, Chelsea haven't looked good for a while, but it did look good yesterday for large periods, particularly in the first half. And United looked good. But in terms of like quality, entertainment, style of football, we are the worst of the seven. I have to put my hands up and say that we are. And if I really want to get technical, I'll throw Brighton in there and say worse than them in terms of on the eye as well. And that's all well and good and fine when the results are there. And I've seen Antonio Conte teams play some absolutely brilliant football. It seems like a lifetime ago, but we destroyed Newcastle in 25 minutes in April. Destroyed them. Beat them 5-1. 4-0 at Villa. 4-0 at Leeds. 5-0 at home to Everton. 5-0 away to Norwich. 3-0 at home to Arsenal. There was some very good tactical and quality performances from Tottenham on the back end of last season. I'm not sure I've seen one this season, really, that I could reflect on afterwards and go, that was great. Like, I'm not sure it's been better than the first game against Southampton. And we only really played well for 20 minutes that day. And it was enough. Fulham at home, game week 6, ironically, is probably the best we've played in the league this season. And yet, we're fourth still. And I know there's teams with games in hand and we're in better form. But it's interesting, isn't it? That actually, we're saying that it's kind of results orientated. And if the results are all right, because we know we have a coach who is all about winning football, then we'll accept it. And yet the goal really this year is to finish fourth. Mm-hmm. That's where we are. The problem that's growing amongst the fan base is... I think this is off the back of a couple of things. One, the transfer window is coming up. And obviously last year, we got Kulusevski and Bentancur in January, who made all the difference, right? And this lack of new contract, which I spoke about last week in terms of it's being reported now that maybe he won't sign an extension, yada, yada, yada. And we're all a bit tired of it and can't be bothered with it. And we know it's all political, etc. But I think that now that the transfer window is coming up and we've had two transfer windows of Antonio Conte and certain things still aren't fixed, like the right wing back problem, which you can paint down, it's down to the club or you can put it on Conte. I would suggest that the club got him a player who can play right wing back in Jed Spence, who should be fucking playing by now. And hasn't even had a look in to be tried, basically. So there's some things from the club. There's some things from his perspective. But I think that the real fear that's beginning to grow amongst Tottenham fans is that everything we're doing has to be tailored towards Antonio Conte's wants and needs. And Jed Spence is a perfect example of that, where there were a lot of teams who were very interested in acquiring him. And if he is available for loan this month, he ain't going to the fucking championship, mate. He's going to go and play for someone every week in the Premier League. We might even be talking about him an FBL asset in the next month or so, depending on where he goes. But Conte hasn't used him. And so you're tailoring everything that your needs are on the immediate. And every transfer we make is going to put this team more and more into the style and look of Antonio Conte. And there's pluses to that on the immediate. To get the best out of this football team, we have to go in the Antonio Conte direction. But the reality is, and we know this, Antonio Conte is not going to be Tottenham manager in 24 months, right?
Six to 18, yeah. Could be quick as six, right?
I think the best case scenario from here would be that you probably summer of 2024 is probably your best case scenario. So there's no long term on that. So why are you thumping everything around the structure of your club? Because I feel whoever comes in afterwards is going to have a monumental amount of work to switch it back to a football style that is comparable with what other teams in this league are providing. And I mean stylistically. And that's becoming a real concern. There is becoming a feeling amongst Tottenham fans of what's the point. And I think what's the point is because we're no closer to winning the league. And to be fair, look at what he inherited in November last year, right? We're no closer to winning the league. No one really thinks we've got a realistic chance of winning the Champions League. We have a very winnable last 16 tie against Milan, but we're not going to win the Champions League. We're in the FA Cup. Dude, I think the fans are at the point now where, because it's Conte, probably at this point would take the FA Cup. I think majority would. And he might put out a crap team against Portsmouth next weekend and it might get beat. So the point is, it's like you've got this manager in to win things, but reality is you look around, you go, City is still City. Liverpool have had a big drop off. They'll come back. United are getting stronger. Newcastle have got themselves in there much quicker than anybody expected. And obviously Arsenal were playing brilliant stuff at the moment and have the results to go with it. What are we doing?
Okay.
And it's not like, I don't really know how to explain it, but it is literally that. It's what's the point? What are we actually trying to achieve? Is it just we just got to keep fighting for fourth? Or is it because, and to be fair, Conte's interview with the club was really good after the game with Brentford. We said we have to think about the next level now. We have to think about being better and bigger and being more consistent. Spoke all the things that I'm thinking in my head. Like, what is that consistency? That consistency is doing what Arsenal's doing at the moment. And the thing with Arsenal, and it's worse because it's Arsenal, obviously, you look at the way that they're playing and all them young players, and I hark back to the podcast we did on this in May before the North London Derby, and I said to you, irrespective of the result, I know the direction that Arsenal are going in.
Yeah.
Whereas Tottenham feels like, got to win now, got to fix it now. Arsenal took a massive hit and a massive blow that week with the defeats to Tottenham and the defeats to Newcastle. But I knew that the direction of path that they were on in terms of the way they were playing stylistically, and obviously added important players like Jesus in the summer that's really helped them. You watch how well they're playing. I had to turn that off after the third goal on Monday night. No,
I lost interest.
I can't watch the
third goal as
that,
well, mate. I'm like you. I had it on, but at that point, I was like, I might as well tidy up the dishes and start putting the dishwasher on and stuff, because it was just too painful. It wasn't too painful in the sense that it was, they were good. You know, Monday, you're talking about the manager and you ask questions around the manager, and you mentioned at the start that he's tactically inflexible. And when you started on that conversation, I'm like, that's the same thing I'm about to say about David Moyes. I'm like, it's frustrating that we're just playing this, he's rolling out this 4-2-3-1. Each and every game, your guy plays a 3-4-3 or a 5-2-3, whatever you want to call it. Three at the back. We play four at the back. He always has two holding midfielders. And it doesn't seem to change. And that was the first time, I'm not Moyes out, so I should say that at the beginning. It's the first time I look at it and I ask the question, if we had a different manager, would we be playing, would we play better? And it was the first time I felt like, actually, you know what? There's a very fair point that we might actually do better with a different manager. Because I just don't believe we have bad players. And I don't believe you guys do either. I still believe you've got a very potent front three. Your midfielders in Bentancourt and Højbjerg can play. And Bissouma, on his day, is good. There was a lot of bad reports about him on Monday.
Not good.
No, but he's not bad. Like, he maybe needs a bit of coaching or a bit of game time or something. And maybe you need a couple of defenders in there for sure. But the players can play better. Even ours can play better. It was the first time on Monday I felt, you know what, this is too stale. I want to see a 5-2-3 from West Ham now. I want to see three at the back, push the wing backs higher, tuck in the wide players a little bit to add support to the striker and see if that makes any difference to how we're playing. Because what we're doing right now isn't working. And it's frustrating when you're talking about building a squad around your manager. I don't know if we necessarily are in the same way. And I also think Moyes has a much longer shelf life than Conte, assuming all things go well. But it's not all rosy. I can see that. I understand that.
There is a difference. I'm glad you mentioned that with Conte in terms of shelf life. Like, I think David Moyes could get sacked in the next 2 or 3 weeks, but I also think he could still be West Ham manager in 3 years.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're referring to. I'm not necessarily in the camp of thinking that you should change manager. I think these next 4 games that you have in the league are very, very telling. And I think you need to do very well in them. If you do badly in them, he's gone. Like, if you only win one of the next 4 or something like that, and then you walk into more difficult fixtures, it's a relegation battle, mate. And I think there'll be a change if that's the case, especially with the ownership's going to change in March. There's a big upheaval for the football club. What I would say, however, I think it is unquestionable, and this is where I understand West Ham fans have lost patience. I think it's unquestionable that 90% of managers, if you get a decent level manager, and you'll be able to pay very handsomely and very well now to a manager, you know, better than, you know, top clubs in Serie A, for example, in terms of salary. So you'll be able to get a very good one in. The style of football will improve.
Yep.
I don't think that's in question, actually. And to be honest, we are, between the two of us at the moment, in terms of the quality of personnel within the squad, pound for pound, we're probably two of the poorest teams in this league to watch at the moment.
Yeah.
So, now, actually, there might be people going, actually, I really enjoy Tottenham because they go down every week and they fight back, etc. So from that perspective, games might feel entertaining. But I just mean in terms of the quality of the play, the quality of ball possession, speed, tempo, so many things that you want from your team. Tottenham and West Ham are both lacking it at the moment. And I think he's been unlucky in the sense that Agüero, he hasn't had at all, really, right? Mm-hmm. Paqueta and Shamaka have had individual issues adapting and stuff. But I think,
ironically, when the two have played together, they goal and assist.
Look good, Paqueta, yeah.
All right, but obviously they're both out again now.
Paqueta's, did he get an injury the other night?
No.
Oh, because you said they was both out.
No, before. Like, Paqueta when he done his shoulder and then scrap. But they have had games where they played together and they've been all right together.
Yeah, I think most West Ham fans expect to be watching better football now with the players that you bought. And David Moyes is probably not going to bring it to you. He's reality.
Joke being, like, we don't score goals, that we scored a fourth away goal all season. And that was a soft penalty, but it was the softest penalty to get the fourth away goal of the season. And you're like, other than that, what did we create? What did we create in the entire fucking game? Nothing. Nothing.
No, but I also think they are extremely good.
They really are.
At the moment.
I think I'm trying to think if I've watched Arsenal full 90 minutes all season. I don't think I have, you know. And I must have.
Probably for me, only when they lost to Manchester United was worth watching to the end. Oh, no. I have watched a few of their games. To be honest, they were just playing too good the other night. I was like, that's enough.
And they did.
To be honest, the wife was literally saying to me, she said, do you want to carry on watching this? And I was already turning it off.
Yeah.
That just was enough.
The movement on the ball was good. we were robbing the game at half time to be 1-0 up, but they deserve to win that game comfortably. And 3-1 is Without Declan Rice, we would have lost that game 6-1, mate, to be honest with you.
And there was a moment in the second half, obviously before it had gone 3-1, and he was going out of his mind, Declan Rice. But not, he wasn't like pointing and shouting at people.
No, it was like, come on.
But and it's worth saying, actually, on the second goal, he shouldn't lose out on the ball to Saka.
Partey.
Was Saka, wasn't it?
No, the first goal was Partey, yeah. The second goal was Saka. Sorry, he lost.
Saka backed into... Saka's deceptively strong for his build and size, but he's got to be stronger and do more about that or make the foul at that stage, to be honest, and not leave yourself in a position where you've then got Martinelli running one-on-one at Soufal. Mm. You don't want that anyway. Obviously, it's a mistake from the goalie. But yeah, there was a point where I think Odegaard and it was probably Saka because it was on the right touchline. They were running rings around him, mate.
Mm.
And he had like this mannerism as in like, all I can do is stand here and look at you.
Yeah.
Because I need help.
The all three goals, mind, were avoidable. Like the first goal was a scuff shot by Odegaard. Saka finds himself fortunate in the right spot. Fine, he takes the finish well. Fabianski should have saved the second down to his near post, although he hits it with some venom. And the third goal, like, what's Kehrer doing? Nketiah sent him on a fucking holiday wherever he was
finish,
going.
To be fair.
The turn was fantastic, but Kehrer's a real frustration for me because since we got him, I liked him. Well, he can't play football. No, the thing is, he can play football. He's good on the ball. He's two-footed. He's calm. He moves around the pitch well. He's reasonably quick. But he makes mistakes all the fucking time. Like, continuously giving away fouls, free kicks. And most of his mistakes are mistakes that lead to goals. If you look back through all of our games, the number of times he's given penalties away or made mistakes. And this is another one where he's let him turn him so easily. And then he's got meters of space there. It's a frustration for me as Kehrer because he's a good footballer. Like, he's got the attributes to be a good footballer. He's good on the ball. He's calm. He's quick. He's all right. But it's the concentration thing, isn't it? Where you just make a stupid mistake. It's not the brain. It's not the physical ability. It's the fucking brain power that's a problem.
I don't think he's helped by the fact he's come in. He's played right back, right-sided centre-back, left-sided centre-back. Yeah, he keeps getting moved about.
But his whole point is, it's a utility player. Like, he's versatile.
I get that, but he's plugged a lot of gaps. I don't know what his best position is yet. I presume it's right side of centre back.
Right side.
I'm not 100% sure.
But I think a lot of our problems change if we switch to a back three. Suddenly the pressure's a little bit off.
You can put a back three on the pitch of Kehrer, Agüero, and Zuma,
and that allows Creswell last season. His attacking threat is one of his best attributes, whipping the ball into the box. Can't remember him putting crosses in anymore this season.
But then when you play that system now, you don't have any dynamism in the wing back position. Same problem we've got.
And I don't know what we would do right wing back. Maybe he'd play Johnson for the pace, or Soufal when he gets forward is all right as well. I really think we need to switch to three at the back. And if he really wants to,
take Jed Spence online, mate.
I'd take him all day long. I think if he really wants to, add an extra body, like not have two holders, play Paqueta alongside Rice. Give him the license to get forward and Rice to hold.
Like, it's what a lot of people want to see.
Paqueta next to Rice, three at the back. Let the wing backs push on a little bit more. It means Benrahma, Bowen, whoever's playing on the flanks can tuck in a little bit if they've got overlapping runners on the outside and support Scamacca. And maybe, just maybe, we might score some goals. But the lack of goal threat was really frustrating. Arsenal work good. Like, it's so hard when they're running rings around you like that, honestly. And they've got two strong centre-backs there.
Yeah, look, it is obviously a bit painful when you get your pants pulled down like that. And from the 70 minutes I watched, it could have been worse than what was going on.
Oh, it should have been worse.
And I turned it off because I thought it was going to get worse. But it's not definitive.
No,
of what happens to
you're
you.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest, you always fucking lose there anyway.
Mm. Always lose away at any big six club, mate.
Well, I was going to say, this David Moyes stat is also... it's bad, isn't it?
Yeah, really bad. But
and that goes back to, like, he's Man United days and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's not just at West Ham that he's had this issue. So, you know, it's not ideal at all, to be honest with you. But we've got to just head up and move on. I wanted to just touch on one other player, and he's not a West Ham player. Fucking that Odegaard. I felt like...
Save it for tomorrow's pod, mate.
All right, fine. But
he was magnificent.
He's a player. I know when he was supposed to be the next big thing at Real, and he obviously clearly didn't cut it there for whatever reason. It didn't work out for him, but he's growing up. Like, you wonder sometimes when a player's made captain of a club, and like, why is he captain? Like, quite often the best player is not always the best captain, but he doesn't come across like loud or vocal or whatever. But silky.
He was, unfortunately, fucking ridiculous.
Silky, yeah.
Yeah.
So much so that you're like, FPL-wise...
So much so that I'm
as good as
any chance of a hamstring injury.
He's as good value as Martinelli, in my opinion. Like, any moment, that guy. Yeah, so, yeah, tough watch. Good thing is, quick turnaround, and off we go. We got Friday night, home to Brentford, under the lights. Make it happen. Come on, boys.
That's not... I'm glad Liverpool-Leicester's a TV game. That is not going to be a thriller, mate.
No, it's not.
And they will present challenges to you.
The biggest thing is the crowd, mate. If it's shit at half time, I'm scared for the atmosphere.
As much as I've been obviously critical, like, and you said it at the top, like, I thought we'd get beat on Monday. I knew that it would be a really tough game for us with no Romero. We fought no Loris, which was correct. And obviously, particularly for me, as I always say, blindingly fucking obvious when Rodrigo Bentancur doesn't play. It's not a terrible result, drawing at Brentford. Chelsea have drawn now. Manchester United, admittedly, it was quite a while ago, got destroyed there. And I wouldn't be surprised if they take something off Liverpool next Monday. And the results against the Big Six in home games last year was impressive as well. So it's not actually a disastrous result. I think they're 10th, I want to say, Brentford. So, you know, if you're drawing away to the team that's 10th in the league, is that a disaster? No, not really. I just think, as ever is the case with us, that really probably outside the top seven, away from home, we should be targeting winning every game.
Yeah.
And that includes Monday's game. But there were some circumstances that I think are understandable. I mean, the Forster in goal, I wouldn't say it was at fault for either goal, but he's just a bit clumsy, which I spoke about after we lost to Forest in the Cup. I didn't understand the selection of Tanganga at right-sided centre-back over Sanchez. And I know Sanchez with the PlayStation standby. What's his name? I always forget.
He's a Colombian PS4 or something.
The Colombian PS4. Tanganga hadn't played a minute of Premier League all season. And Sanchez has been playing all the... And admittedly, they've both been playing in the pre-season games. Didn't make sense that he picked Tanganga over Sanchez when it felt like he'd given up on Tanganga a long time ago. And actually, I did think Tanganga played well against Nice. So I can understand why he gave him the opportunity, but he still didn't make sense, particularly because of the opposition, right? Tony just backs into you. He's such a handful. He really is. Really is a good player, Ivan Tony. He's getting banned in the morning, banned in the morning. But obviously, look,
Romero... And then he went and fucking scored. So
Harry Kane let his country down and scored as well. Romero will obviously come back in for that. It's much better. Bentancur will come back in. It'll be much better. One of the other problems we have at the moment, despite the fact that we're not that attractive on the eye, is we kind of probably need to take one of the attacking players out of the team or at least change the system. And when I say change the system, you can even have the same starting system. I'm getting really, really fucking annoyed with Harry Kane. Not Harry Kane per se. And the Spurs fans' reaction to him was great. And he dealt with the whole... I think Brentford away was one of the easier games you can have from an atmosphere perspective in terms of, oh my God, look at Brentford fans. They're disgraceful. Like, it's inevitable. It's going to happen everywhere. It's no big deal. But I'm getting annoyed. I'm not annoyed with Kane. I'm annoyed with how Antonio Conte is using Harry Kane. We don't have enough quality on the pitch. He's the best passer in the team. play up front, but drop off. And he's not being allowed to. And I think back to, I've already referenced it, that Newcastle game in April when he kept dropping off and he was dragging players out with him and he was taking piss out of them. Why has it stopped? It's like now he's just like, he's a number nine. And don't get me wrong, the flip of that is he's probably helped his goal scoring numbers this year. But it's certainly not helping Sonny's.
Yeah.
Because that Harry dropping in and Sonny in behind, it's like he's gone.
Yeah.
And that's really bad for Sonny. And we've got to find a way of getting Sonny back amongst the goals and stuff. And I thought he played okay, Sonny. He looked a little bit more like himself. He nearly won the game towards the end and stuff. I just want Harry to drop off deeper. He just causes, like, debate amongst people. Who's going to go and pick him up? What's going to happen here? And so we're just very, very fucking stationary. And the whole game at the moment feels about, can we get the ball to Kulusevski and can he create? Which is what happened on the equalising goal. The two goals we scored are actually really good. Beautiful header from Kane. As soon as he got up, I knew he'd scored before he even headed it, because I had that line from the opposite corner flag. I knew he'd scored as soon as he was up. He doesn't score nearly enough goals as he should like that.
He scored two in that game.
Yeah, I do think he should score more headed goals. I think he's nowhere near as good in the air as he should be. And the second goal was a good team goal as well. We stayed patient. And for all the criticisms and the conceding goals early, I can't look at them and go, you're not playing. They fight back every fucking game. It's just really frustrating. I think one of the reasons for it is that I think we desperately need a quick centre-back. And primarily a central centre-back. So you could play like Longley and Romero either side. Eric Dier's not had a good season. He was great last year, but he's not had a good season. And I think that having a quicker central centre-back will allow us to push up the pitch more. And I think the distances are not right at the moment. But once we go behind, the wide centre-backs get really high and they start taking chances. It's because we're fucking losing. Take that chance at the start of the game. We'll beat the majority of teams. And that in itself will make us more attractive if we just play higher up the pitch. But I think there's too much fear. There's too much fear about getting done over the top. Dier is a good, let's say, penalty box defender, generally. Put it into his area, he'll get it out, he'll clear it. He's decent on the ball. Put the ball over the top and have him turn in or draw him out into wide centre-back areas, massive problem. So I think, I mean, there's still so much that team needs. But under Antonio Conte's system, I think it's beginning to look like a central centre-back with pace is becoming a real priority, actually. But I don't know if he'll go down that way, because actually when Dier doesn't play, his lack of leadership shows and they're all over the shop. So devil's advocate a bit. Yeah.
We shall see.
The resilience in the team's great.
Yeah.
Just not playing very well.
Well, we have neither at the moment, but got to keep the faith. That's what we do as football fans. Give me a prediction. What did you predict on COTC? I've not listened to it yet.
We all went for 2-1 Tottenham against Villa.
Okay. Yeah. I think our game's going to finish 1-1. I'm going to predict a 1-1 on Friday night versus Brentford at home, which I'll take right now if you offered it to me.
I think you might get bait, mate.
Yeah, let's see.
And on that bombshell.
Yes. Depressing Tottenham, but you know how it is. This is the way you like it, patrons. What do we have tomorrow for the patrons, James?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I do know. It's all a bit fucked up this week because Nico's on holiday and I'm working from home. Katie's working from home. Harry's off nursery. So I'm going to do a live stream for you tomorrow, Ask James, at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
UK time. Come and join me. I'll bring some Lemsip and shit.
Nice. And Friday will be Diff Show as per you.
Yes.
Patrons, stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Can you, Spurs? Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.